Please turn your Bibles to Jeremiah chapter 29. Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 10. For thus says the Lord, after 70 years are completed at Babylon, I will visit you and perform my good word towards you and cause you to return to this place. Verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Then you will call upon me and go and pray to me, and I will listen to you. And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for the promises of your word. And Lord, how in the Old Testament, when you said things, you did bring it to pass. You did accomplish your promises. So Lord, help us in this time in which we live to know that you're a God that does not lie. And Lord, we can be assured of the promises of your word. And you have promised us from the Old Testament to now that you will never leave us nor forsake us. So Lord, as your children, we give you praise. And as a child, Lord, we run into your arms, Jesus. So Lord, I pray that they'll be a holy hush among us. And Lord, that you will speak to us through your word. Please speak through this servant. I'm nothing without you. And may it be for the praise of your glory that we can be witnesses in your servants this week in this community and in our world. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God's thoughts towards you, even in times of trouble. In this passage of Scripture in Jeremiah, what had happened was they were in captivity and false prophets was raised up among the children of Israel. And the false prophets were saying, oh, forget what the men of God had said, what God had said, thus says the Lord, because God is going to bring us back out of this captivity. In other words, this trouble that we're in right now, God's just going to fix it just like that. And we will not be in captivity for the 70 years. So Jeremiah writes a letter to the people with this assurity of God hearing their prayers and God's presence, yet in this letter he says again, the captivity will last for 70 years. Mary, have children, trust in the Lord, but after 70 years, God will bring you out of captivity. So in this letter, this thus says the Lord, yes, you're going to have troubled times, 70 years of it, but God is with you through it. So these false prophets among the people were speaking something that was not true. And just because you speak something does not make it so, people. Just because you speak something, if a false prophet says, speak it, and it'll be so, God is a bellhop in heaven. If you'll speak it, then he has to do it. He's the God of heaven, the Creator God, and he does not have to do something just because you speak it. He is God. He is sovereign Lord. And what He says goes. And we're promised that He is with us even through the times of trouble in our lives. That's the main promise that we have and we can stand upon, is God's presence during the hard times of life. That's the most important, is it not? So, the real man of God said, yes, you will go for 70 years in captivity in a foreign land. And it will last for 70 years. But the false prophets were saying, oh, just, it's not going to be so. It's like today, I'm a man of faith. But just because you speak something and say, oh, if you just say it and say it enough and say it enough, then God has to do something. No, He doesn't. But as a child, He's with you. Amen. We are the temple of the Holy Spirit. So God's thoughts towards you, even in times of trouble. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we see that His thoughts toward us, that they are as an individual. Now, yes, this letter is to a nation. It is to the children of Israel. And yet, in light of the New Testament, we know that God is a personal God. He is a God that wants to have a personal relationship, an intimate relationship with you and I. So yes, He's speaking to a nation, but yet these promises we can take as an individual. And He was speaking to them as if an individual and saying that He is thinking thoughts toward them and they are as if an individual. Now, they say the population today on earth is it over 7 billion now? That's a lot of people. And yet, the Creator of all things, His thoughts are towards you as an individual. Even with over 7 billion people on earth, you can have an individual relationship with a holy God. And He is not some higher power out there that is wound it up a clock and just let us loose. He is not some old man upstairs with a big long beard that maybe you can get a hold of sometime. He is not some supreme being out there. Yes, He is the supreme being, but He's not some supreme being that there are many avenues that you can get a hold of this supreme being with. But He is a God in light of the New Testament, that God came in the flesh and told us that you can relate to me by saying, Abba, Father. You can relate to me, God says, calling me Daddy. You can call me Daddy. That's how much an intimate relationship Holy God wants to have with you. You can call Him Daddy. Abba, Father. So it's an intimate. His thoughts are intimate towards you. He knows everything about you. He knows what you're thinking now. Did you know that? He knows your sin. He knows everything about your sin. And just like the nation of Israel was in captivity, He knows what may be holding you captive right now. He knows what demonic influence that may have you in chains right now. He knows everything about you. He knows your situation that you may be in. He knows all about it. And yet, it is an intimate knowledge that as a child of God, if you will seek Him and trust Him, He can break those chains and set you free. And He promises us that He will be in the midst of the situations that we're in. He promises us that He will be in the midst and ever present to help us through. So it's an intimate. His thoughts are intimate towards us as individuals, and also they are thoughts of peace. Look with me in verse 11. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. So thoughts of peace. He is the God of peace. He says that He will be their peace even in the midst of captivity. In the midst of their trouble, God is their peace. Peace. It's a peace that surpasses all the understanding that this old world has about peace. See, this world offers peace. It may be in the form of an alcoholic beverage. It may be in the form of a pain pill. It may be in the form of loose relationships. But this world will offer you peace, and it's no peace. But God's peace is a person. He is the Prince of Peace. And this peace surpasses anything that the world has any type of knowledge about. Thoughts of peace towards you and I. We're studying Revelation on Sunday nights, and we're in chapter 14. Tonight, Lord willing, we're going to cover a passage of Scripture that says that the wine press that those who receive the mark of the beast, that they will drink of the wine of the winepress of the wrath of God without mixture. Without mixture is very important. They will experience the wrath of God, the judgment of God, without grace, without His mercy, and without His love. Right now, we're living in the age of grace. God judges today, and yet His judgment is mixed with grace and love. Right now, He's the good shepherd that says, come to me, come and follow me. If you'll follow me, you shall not want. If you follow me, I will be present with you. I will lead you to the green pastures and beside deep still waters. Come follow me. And He tries to lead us as a good shepherd. But someday there will be His wrath, and it will not have that grace and love and mercy mixed in with His judgment. Right now, His thoughts are at peace. You who are without the saving knowledge of a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. He is wooing you. Please come now. Come follow me, because my judgment will be poured out upon you without the mixture of love in it. Thoughts of peace and love and mercy for those who will trust Him and repent of their sins and turn to Him in repentance. He will give you peace. And these thoughts towards us, they are also thoughts of hope. Again, in verse 11, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you a future and a hope. Future and a hope. There they were, and they were captive in a foreign land. They even hung their harps on the willows. No joy. No joy. No singing of joy. There they are, captive. And God says through a prophet, my thoughts towards you is hope. hope that you will have a future. A future. You see, something is better coming. Something better is coming. Everyone say amen. No matter what situation you're in today, folks, this land, this world is not our home. We're pilgrims. Something better is coming. It is on its way. Something better is coming, and that is our hope. If all we had in this life was what this world had to offer and what we could get out of this life, then that's not much hope, is it? Something better is coming. There is hope beyond their captivity. There is hope beyond your captivity. There is hope beyond your situation. There is hope beyond your trouble. There's hope beyond the grave. Hope. Because of what Christ has done for us. You see, in light of the New Testament, as a child of God, we're more than conquerors through Him. And He promises us, you know what this a great promise in Romans chapter 8 is? No matter what we may be going through as His child, He is working good on our behalf. Isn't that great news? Doesn't that give you hope? He is working good. There's hope beyond your sickness, beyond whatever may be hindering you from living the life Christ has for you, if you'll trust Him, if you'll follow Him. Another great promise in this passage is found in verse 12, that He will listen and be found. Let's read it, verse 12. Then you will call upon Me and go and pray to Me, and I will listen to you. What a promise, what joy to know that the God of heaven, the Creator, will listen to you and I. And by the way, in light of the New Testament, what name do we approach the throne of God with? The name of Jesus, and it's only Jesus. He will listen. He will listen to us and be found. He's not some supreme being up there that we hope to someday make it. No, He's intimate. He wants a relationship, and He hears us. He's present. We got someone to talk to. Oh, so-and-so hadn't been by to see me lately. No one's called me on the phone. Well, just talk to Jesus then, why don't you? Call upon Him. He'll talk to you. He'll listen to you. Call upon Him, and He will be found. You see, He is not some distant God out there that we cannot be in contact with. Matter of fact, in the New Testament, when Jesus said, "It is finished," on the cross, you know what happened. It says in the temple, that veil that separated common people, only the high priest could go behind that veil once a year. That veil that was between the people and the Ark of the Covenant and the seat of mercy, God's Word describes it when Jesus was on the cross and said, "It is finished," that the rocks rent and something else also rent. It was torn in two from top to bottom, which represented God tore that veil, that thick, thick curtain, tore it apart so that we can have access to the throne room of God. Any time and any place. Access. He is a God that listens. He is a God that wants to hear you pray and seek Him. He loves to be in fellowship, sweet koinonia, it's the Greek word in the New Testament, sweet fellowship with you. That's the kind of God we serve. He promises us His presence and that He will hear. And in verse 13, everyone circle this. This is a key verse. Verse 13, it says, "And you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart." When you search for Him with all your whole heart. I don't know about you. There's been times in my life, see, I know about me a whole lot more than I know about you. There's been times that my spiritual walk would just, you know, be going kind of leveled out. And something happens. Something major happens in life. You know, and I say, "Oh God, I need your help now." And it seemed like that time my whole heart is like, oh God, help me. Oh God, I need you now. My whole heart. Wanting His presence, wanting Him to be so near that His presence so thick that you just can touch Him. You ever experienced that? Yeah. See, daily, that's how we need to seek God. Because you know what? We're really not living that peace and joy and long-suffering and all those fruits of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace. That's in Galatians chapter 5. We really can't live in the Spirit wholeheartedly unless we are seeking Him with our whole heart. And that's daily. It's not once a year anymore, but it can be daily for you and I. Daily. With our whole heart. To reach out and touch God. Now the question that you and I need to ask ourselves, we need to judge ourselves. Judge ourselves. God's thoughts are towards you like we just described this morning. That's how He thinks about you. How are your thoughts towards Him? Is your thoughts in that you got to ask someone else to pray that you can receive forgiveness of sin? Your thoughts is that He's a little baby in Mary's arms that you pray to? Are your thoughts towards Him like some higher power that you can join the Boy Scouts with? Are your thoughts towards God is that there are many types of gods and He has different names, Buddha and Allah and all that, and it's all the same, kumbaya, my Lord, kumbaya? Or is He the God of this Bible to you? Is He the God of the Bible that wants to have a relationship with you? How are your thoughts towards Him? The good news is, if you do not know Him personally, He's done all He can to know you personally through the cross. You can know Him personally if you'll come to Christ this morning. That's the good news. That's the good news. Let's pray. Lord, we do thank You for Your precious Word. And we do thank You for Your love toward us, Your grace and mercy. And Lord, I pray daily that we will seek You. And You promise You'll be found. And Lord, in this life of trials and troubles and tribulation, this world, Lord, we are assured of your presence. Help us to continue to trust in you. And help us not to listen to falsehood, but help us to cling to your word. For the praise of your glory, in Jesus' name, amen.